Our reading is Galatians 1:11 to 2:10, page 1168. Paul called by God. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle of the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do.
Thank you, Jason. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to be here with so many of us. I was at the Newbury Spring Festival last night. That's why I've got the staging up, just if you're a visitor here, we don't normally have the staging, it's for the Spring Festival. And someone said to me, Vicar, it must be, because it was packed last night, Vicar, it must be lovely to see your church so full. And I try not to say that badly, but I wanted to say we should come back on Sunday morning. It's quite a number of us, and let's not forget about how many kids and leaders are through over in our other buildings. So we praise God that we're able to meet together like this, we're able to meet in his presence, to hear his word. Let's pray for his help to hear what he has to say to us. Let's pray. We thank you for this privilege of what we do together this morning, Lord God, as we gather in your presence, as we hear your word, and we pray that through your written word and by your Holy Spirit, you would lead us ever closer to your living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you get on with the Apostle Paul. I'd like you to think about that for a minute with me. How do you get on with the Apostle Paul? His stained glass window is up there above me, third in from the end. There he is, looking down on us. Much more significantly, of course, than his window, his letters make up a major portion of the New Testament. About a quarter of the New Testament is written by Paul. Romans 1 and 2, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all the way through to Philemon. If you read your Bible, you can't escape Paul, his letters, and his personality that comes right through them. How do you get on with him? And maybe he's the author of some of your favorite verses. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Some of his prayers, Ephesians 3, that we might grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Verses that have sustained and inspired you in your Christian life. But maybe you find Paul more difficult. Maybe you identify with the person who said, Jesus, I like, but Paul, I find Paul more difficult. His personality, his style, his tone, it grates. Someone I read this week described Paul, slightly tongue-in-cheek, as inflammatory, infuriating, incomprehensible, and insensitive. That's quite a list. How do you get on with the Apostle Paul? Not very well, actually, might be your honest answer. And the book of Galatians that we're looking at this summer in our morning services is a very good example of why people feel this way. We looked at the first 10 verses last week. Joy preached on the opening section. Paul in Galatians is clearly in a bit of a state. He's wound up. Something or someone, or actually some people, have really wound him up. And they've made him prickly, a bit shouty, defensive. Verse 1, we began right at the beginning last week. Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ. And for some reason, all of this, and especially in our passage that we just read, this is causing him to go on and on about himself. Don't know if you noticed that as you read it. It's all about Paul. Verses, I want you to know, brothers, the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from man. I received it by revelation. Verse 18, 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. I saw none of the apostles. I. If you count the number of I's in this passage, it's all about Paul. Where is Paul of the love is patient, love is kind, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude? Where is Paul of the let your gentleness be evident to all? We don't see that in these verses. And this is something we're going to be grappling with as we preach through this letter. Paul, the man, and his message, his personality that comes through this letter, and with that, his passion for the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And as we do this, I want to use an illustration to set the context of Galatians, help us understand some of the key issues involved. Imagine you're in South Africa in the apartheid era, segregation of whites and blacks. And you have embarked on a risky project, a project to build a community center where everybody will be equally welcome, no matter what their color or race. Open to all and for all will be the motto, the vision of this community center. You've designed the center, you've drawn up the plans, the layout of the entrance doors and the main meeting room is all crucial. Open to all, for all. And you've laid the foundation of the building in such a way that only the right sort of building can be built, or so you think. You're called away to another part of the country, and while you're away, you get a letter. This is pre-email, 1970s, 80s. Pre-email, you get a letter telling you about the progress on your community center. and things have changed. A new group of builders have turned up. They're building on your foundation, but they've changed the design. They're installing two main meeting rooms with two front doors, one for whites only, one for blacks only. The new builders have told people that the community centre, it will still be open to all and for all, but we need two different ways in. And when you're in, well, we can't put everyone together. That would never work. And when people have asked these new builders what was wrong with the original design and the original designer, i.e. you, they've been told that the original designer who laid the foundations, you, had some unorthodox ideas, got a bit muddled, didn't really have permission to make this kind of design, and we're from the authorities, this is how it's going to be. Two meeting rooms, two entrance doors. So how do you feel in reading this letter? Your authority has been undermined, your building design has been fatally flawed, and your work is being undone in your absence. How do you feel? How do you respond? What kind of letter do you write back? And I hope you can see the parallels in the letter to Galatians in the Apostle Paul. Paul, the former persecutor of the church, now preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ, has given his life to just that, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, the message that through Jesus, his death and resurrection, people of every nation and class and color can alike enjoy the life-changing experience of a relationship with God, sins forgiven, the gift of the Spirit, a relationship open to all and for all through one way, faith in Jesus Christ, trust in him. That's the gospel. That's the preaching of Paul and his companions. And as they've gone around preaching, all around the Mediterranean, Greece and Turkey, people were becoming Christians, followers of Jesus, churches springing up. And incredibly, these churches, full of all types of people, slaves and free, high and low in society, Jews and Gentiles meeting together. It's remarkable. United through one entry requirement, one door, faith in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Some of these churches, these new churches, are in Galatia, in Turkey, the Galatian churches. And Paul has founded them. He's since been called away. And others have come in and they're undermining his work. They're criticizing Paul and his teaching, his authority. And they're adding new requirements, circumcision and food laws and festivals to observe. And they're separating Jew and Gentile. This is the news that Paul hears. How does he respond? He comes out fighting. And we hear this as we read this letter. The new teachers in Galatia, they've criticized Paul, his authority and his gospel. If you like, they've criticized the man and the message. And so Paul goes on the offensive with these two issues. These two things run right through this book. The man, Paul's testimony, his calling, his authority, and the message, the gospel he preached. We see these two themes in the two sections of our reading this morning. So firstly, just to look at them in turn, the man, Paul the man, verses 11 to 24, the first half of our reading. Just recently, we had the Oscars. I say we had, the Oscars were held. We've got a good stage here, but I'm not sure it's Oscar ready. And for the moment, let's just forget about the incident between Will Smith and Chris Rock. I'd like to think about the speeches that the award winners each made. Normally, the speeches get quite a bit of attention. This year, they were slightly overshadowed by the incident I've referred to. Some speeches are good, some are poor, but what they all have in common is that the winners all have a long list of people that they want to thank. This is standard in an Oscars speech. People there in debt, they get really moved by it, don't they? Weep. People they're indebted to, people they couldn't have done it without. People try to be humble when they win. And that's in America. Here in the UK, we value this kind of self-deprecating approach even more. We acknowledge the contributions of others. I could never have done it without so-and-so. That's how we like to be. Paul takes a very different approach in Galatians. His entire approach is to emphasize how independent he is from anyone else. He has no one to thank for his ministry other than God. We saw this at the beginning of the letter last week, verse 1. I already said, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. In our reading the verses today, verse 11 and 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Independent, says Paul. No one to thank. He goes on again in verses 18 to 20. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, that's Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that I'm writing to you no lie. Look, he says, only after 3 years did I meet with any of the other apostles, the disciples, and then only for 2 weeks, and I only met two of them. Why is Paul so concerned to argue this way? It comes across to us so chippy. It doesn't endear him to us. It's because Paul wants it to be really clear that the gospel he preaches is the gospel of God. And his authority to preach it is straight from God. He doesn't want to be relegated to a sort of second-rate or third-hand apostle whose authority is only derivative, who's departed from the message of Jesus as it's kind of been passed down, kind of Chinese whispers. No, he says, I got this straight from God. And that's important. It's important for us because we might like to think that way about Paul sometimes. Second rate, third hand. We read the New Testament, read the Gospels, Jesus, we like him and his words. You get Bibles, don't you, where Jesus' words are in red letters. That's the real authority. But then as you leave the gospel and into the letters and Paul's letters, well, we would perhaps like a bit more freedom to pick and choose the bits we like to hang on to and the bits we don't to ignore. After all, Paul, he never even met Jesus. He's quite far down the chain of authority. No, says Paul, I am an apostle sent by God. I met the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. I preach the good news of Jesus. And it's clear the whole of the New Testament, Gospels, letters, Revelation, are authoritative. The bits we find healing and the bits we find harder. The word of God. Christianity is a revealed religion. We don't really like the word, but it is revealed by God. It's not made up by us. Revealed by Jesus to the apostles, to Paul himself. If we forget this or decide we don't like it, then all we do is what Paul himself warned us of. We just gather around us those teachers who say what we'd like to hear. He says in 2 Timothy, to say what our itching ears want to hear. No, we must listen to the word, submit to its authority. And Paul, the writer of a quarter of the New Testament, you don't have to like him. We're not called to worship him. But we do have to recognize the authority of what he wrote, his words that make up the word. And Paul, of course, is our apostle. We're Gentiles, Gentile Christians. We are the result of his mission. So firstly, Paul the man. Secondly, the message. The second half of our reading, verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2. And have a look at verse 6 of chapter 2. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. Here's Paul still fiercely independent. I wonder when the last time was when you fed a baby food. For some of us, that is a daily activity. Some of those in the North Isle, if I can segregate us. For others, it's been a long time. If you buy baby food nowadays, it comes in pouches mainly. Before that, it used to come in jars. But the pouches and the jars always have or had those tamper-proof lids, as in many other packaging. And some of you might remember what led to these. There was a spate of incidences of people adding harmful substances to baby food and then blackmailing supermarkets. They added glass shards or slithers of metal. In fact, only 2 years ago, someone was convicted in the UK of trying to blackmail Tesco's for £1.5 million by doing exactly the same. Imagine how you'd feel if you discovered that the food you'd been feeding your baby had been tampered with. Someone else had added something not good. Imagine the horror, the outrage. That's something that Paul feels as he hears what the new teachers in Galatia are teaching the churches, the gospel that they're feeding them, these baby Christians, baby churches. They've been adding to Paul's original message. It's no longer just about faith, trust in Jesus. There are other things, circumcision for the men, food laws, religious feasts. These are what you've got to do. These are the mark of God's people. And they said, if you Gentile Christians don't want to do them, then we're going to have to separate from you. Two classes of Christian, first and second class. And Paul says, no, comes out fighting. What you've added has turned good news into bad news. The gospel, my gospel, the gospel of Jesus, is all about grace, God's free gift to all those who turn to him, trust in his Son, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, a relationship with God, open to all, for all, through one way, through faith, nothing else to add. That's why Paul is so concerned to point out here that the other apostles, Peter, James, and John, didn't have anything to add to his message. In chapter 2, he says he went up to Jerusalem, he met with the other apostles, he took with him Titus, who was a Gentile. Verse 3, he says, yet not even Titus was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Verses 6 and 7, for those who held in high esteem, whatever they were, makes no difference to me, they added nothing to my message. They recognized I'd been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles, as Peter had been to the Jews. They added nothing, says Paul, because there was nothing to add to the message of grace. The content of the gospel, what it contains, really matters. It matters enormously. It is God's design to call all people to himself from all nations, all races, all backgrounds, called to him, saved and changed by him, not on the basis of their spiritual CVs or the wonderful deeds that they've done or their spiritual pedigree or the rules and rituals they obey, but solely because of his grace, the free gift for those who trust in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is nothing to add. And if you do add anything and say you need to obey these rules or do these things or follow these customs or come from this background, you turn good news into bad news. Imagine the next time that we had communion at St. Nick's in this morning service. And I stood at the front and I said, we made a few changes. We're used to changes to communion with COVID, so just a few more. We're going to have two lines. And the first is for those who've done the following, read their Bibles and prayed every day, kept themselves pure, whatever is on that list. A line for those slots, that's the first line. And then there's a second line for the second class. It's just a few changes. That's no gospel. There's one line. I know we have three lines at St. Nick's, but it's one line, the same line. One way, one entrance, a line for sinners saved by grace. Sometimes when I distribute communion, you might think, when I'm the top of the line and handing, you might think, I wonder what he's thinking. And not always, but sometimes I think this. I think, here comes another sinner. Just like me, just like the person behind them and the one behind them. All of us, sinners, saved by grace, all equal. Equal from Christina, who we baptized earlier, to the church wardens and their wonderful spiritual CVs and other leaders who we thanked earlier, all of us equal. We said in our welcome to Christina, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism by one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body. We welcome you. We're children of the same Heavenly Father. We welcome you. One line, one way, one entrance. The teachers in Galatia were adding new rules, two lines, two classes. Paul has heard it and he's come out fighting. His tone is harsh, as we've seen. In fact, he says later on that he wishes he can change it. In chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, "My dear children, how I wish I could be with you and change my tone. I'm perplexed about you." But freedom is worth fighting for. The freedom we have through the grace that is ours in Jesus. The freedom we have to approach God without fear, not on the basis of what we've done or who we are, but what Jesus has done when he died on the cross for our sins. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Paul, the message of grace. Let's pray that we would take it in, the good food of the good news, that we'd add nothing to it and take nothing from it, and that we'd pass it on, good news for all the world. Let's pray together. So, Lord, we pray that you would feed us with the good food of the good news of the gospel of grace. Help us to add nothing to it, take nothing away from it. Help us to pass it on as good news for all the world. In Jesus' name, amen.